Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set. Wow!
That's when you have fun. When you're kicking somebody's ass and they're sucking for win.
That was good. Ready? Go.
Inbounder on the baseline.
And a steal! Last chance to get!
Way outside. Amazing! Oh, impossible! Big time onions by the Wiley vet.
That's it. Here it is. Roll, roll, roll.
Welcome to the Action Network podcast presented by BetMGM. I am your host, Dr. Nick Giffen, predictive analyst here at Action Network, and I'm presenting you with my third annual Giffen's Guide to March Madness, where we go over my moneyline rollover strategy and identify eight teams that I think have a good chance of making it pretty far in this year's NCAA tournament. As a reminder, if you don't know what the moneyline rollover strategy is, the idea is that there are four regions, and then if we split those regions in half, there are eight sub-regions, or octants, if you will, in the bracket. And ideally, we would like to choose one team from both the top and the bottom half of each region to advance to the Elite Eight. And what we'll do is we'll take an initial bet, let's say $25, and bet that team to win on the money line. And if they win, we'll take whatever our winnings were plus the original $25 bet and bet them again in the next round. And the idea is to do this both in the first round, the second round, and in the Sweet 16, and identify a team to make it to the Elite Eight. And typically, we do this with underdog seeds, 5 seeds or longer, because they'll eventually face a 1 seed or a 2 seed, most likely at some point, given they'll be either in the top half with the 1 seed or the bottom half of a region with the 2 seed in the bracket. So sometimes we'll have a little bit of an exception to this rule. We may, in certain spots, want to bet a team to cover the spread early on if they are favored. That way we get a little bit better odds by making a spread bet instead of something like a minus 200 money line bet. And the other option would be, well, occasionally there are octants of this bracket where I just don't like any of the situations to pick an underdog team. So we may double up on one of those sides of the regions there and pick two teams from the same sub-region area. And that way, if those two teams face each other before the Sweet 16, or I should say before the Elite Eight, we'll cash out both teams and make a profit right there on two of our teams if they end up facing each other. So those are really the only exceptions to the rule. Ideally, we choose one team per octant and roll them up money line to the Sweet 16, but a couple of exceptions. And that's really it. If you want to throw $25 on eight teams, that's $200 or whatever suits your personal bankroll. But at that point, you're only risking $200 to have the potential to have some big upside. I've done this several years in the past. Before I joined Action Network, I had several profitable years. And then in the 2 years with Action Network, 1 year didn't go so well. Last year went a lot better, and we had a lot of fun sweating some teams making some good runs here. So hopefully we can identify some winners this year. With that said, it is time to get to the picks, and I'm going to start in the South region. And I'm starting here because this is the most unique region for me. We've got a double up scenario, and we have actually a team playing in the first four on Wednesday night in Dayton that I will be picking from this region. So let's start with them. I'm going to take the 10 seed from this region, the Colorado Buffaloes. And I am going to take them money line versus Boise State, and then again try to roll them up on the money line in their future games. So all we need here, because we're taking a team from the first four, we don't need Colorado to make the Elite Eight. We just need them to make the Sweet 16. That'll be three games for them on this money line rollover strategy. So I actually have Colorado power rated more like a six seed. They're the 22nd best team in my power ratings in this NCAA tournament, which would place them more like a six seed than a 10 seed. So while their opponent, Boise State, is fairly seeded as a 10 seed, there's extra value down the road when Colorado, if they beat Boise State, will then face 7 seed Florida. And so you could roll over money line against 7 seed Florida. And then finally, should Colorado beat Florida, they're most likely to fade 2 seed Marquette. But I actually have Marquette seeded more like a borderline 3-4 seed in that 3 seed range there. Plus, their star player, Tyler Kolek, coming back from injury may not be 100%. So I really like Colorado, who is probably not getting enough credit for being a 10 seed, whereas I think they should be a lot higher seeded if things went strictly by power ratings in terms of the seeds, which they don't. So we're going to take Colorado, who is one of my top 24 or 25 teams, to win three games, betting them all on the money line there in the South region. Now, I did mention this is a double up spot because I am also going to roll with my North Carolina State Wolfpack. Yes, that's where I went to grad school, as the 11 seed in this region. And in a similar vein to Colorado, NC State has a relatively nice path to the Sweet 16 where they could end up facing Colorado or even the Elite Eight, thanks to what is essentially a fully overseeded region pathway with Texas Tech, Kentucky, and Marquette. The 6 seed, Texas Tech, a little bit overseeded. I have them as the first 7 seed. Now, that's probably a little unfair given that they've had some injuries they've dealt with, and their players, Warren Washington and Darion Williams, will be returning. But even if they're fairly seeded, looking ahead, Kentucky, a 3 seed, I have graded more like a 5 seed, definitely as the worst 3 seed. And then Marquette, again, the worst 2 seed. So there is a really nice path for NC State to face, you know, some 6-3-2 seeds, whereas if they're in other regions, they'd have much tougher 6-3-2 seeds than they do here. So I definitely think there's a spot where NC State, after running the ACC gauntlet of Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina to win the ACC title, there's no reason they can't compete with any of these other teams. So I'm going to take North Carolina on the money line all the way to the Elite Eight, unless, of course, they face Colorado in the Sweet 16, in which case we'd cash out both bets. Going to the other side, the top half of the South region, my third pick is going to be the Nebraska Cornhuskers as the 8 seed there in the top half of the region, where they could potentially face Houston. So I do have Nebraska a little bit underseeded, more like a 7 seed per my power ratings. Well, I have, you know, Texas A&M kind of tied for the worst 9 seed with Nevada. So I'll definitely back the Huskers money line versus Texas A&M. And then they would get a matchup against 1 seed Houston. And this is specifically why I'm picking Nebraska here, because I think they give Houston a potential upset scenario matchup. So this one is based off the matchup here. I liken this a little bit to UVA, UMBC, with Nebraska being a much better UMBC. Both UMBC and Nebraska had a 44% plus 3-point attempt to field goal attempt ratio, meaning they're chucking up a whole lot of 3-pointers. Whereas Houston and Virginia are both slow-paced teams that allow above a 40% 3-point attempt ratio. So a lot of threes could really influence this one. And with the favored team being the slower paced team, Houston and UVA back in that UMBC game. This is a spot where fewer possessions, if Nebraska catches fire, it may be hard for Houston to come back, kind of like we saw with Virginia against UMBC, or even just for Nebraska to keep it close and maybe steal a game winner late in the game. So I'm going to take Nebraska here. And then should they pull off the upset against Houston, they certainly would have a tough game against, you know, maybe a Duke or a Wisconsin. But there's also a non-zero chance they maybe face somebody like a James Madison University or something like that. So Nebraska is going to be my third pick for this money line rollover strategy on the Giffen Guide to March Madness, which rounds out the South region. A reminder, this podcast is presented by North Carolina's newest sportsbook, BetMGM. Use bonus code ACTION when signing up to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5. For new users in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Moving on to the next region, I'm going to go to another bit of a unique region here, and that'll be the Midwest region, because I only have one pick in this region. Remember, we doubled up on a different octant, so now we have to find another octant that I'm not going to use, and I think the Midwest region is the perfect spot to not do that. I'm going to pass on making a pick on the Purdue half of the Midwest region. I'm not really sold on Gonzaga or TCU or Samford, you know, to really get past or McNeese State to get past Purdue in this spot. So we're just going to avoid that side of the Midwest. But on the bottom half of the Midwest region, this is an interesting one. I'm going to take the South Carolina Gamecocks as the sixth seed. Now, I originally had Oregon penciled in here, and I certainly do not mind. If you'd rather go with Oregon in this spot than South Carolina, I wouldn't blame you one bit. If you wanted to take the Giffen Guide to March Madness, switch it up a little bit and go Oregon in this spot, totally fine with that. But I'm looking ahead to the second round here because I have South Carolina and Oregon almost essentially a coin flip. So you'd say, well, in that case, well, aren't we getting a little bit better odds on Oregon? Why wouldn't you take Oregon? It's a little bit better value for the money line. But again, to me, this is all about the second round here. I don't think Oregon's neutral pace and poor shooting defense, while not eliminating the three-pointer, which Creighton loves to shoot, matches up very well against Creighton. Instead, with South Carolina, we get a, you know, a really tough matchup for Creighton, potentially. The Gamecocks play at the ninth slowest pace in the nation, meaning fewer possessions, so Creighton doesn't get to realize their efficiency on as many possessions. And also South Carolina, they allow three-point attempts at the 25th lowest rate in the nation, which, of course, is what Creighton thrives on. So that will certainly try to take away one aspect of Creighton's game where they like to use these high efficiency shots, because the 3-point ball and shots close to the rim are the most efficient shots in basketball. So if South Carolina is eliminating one of Creighton's strengths, that certainly can help. And South Carolina themselves, they attempt their own threes at the 85th highest rate in the nation. And while Creighton also tries to eliminate the three, if South Carolina is able to make some of those, certainly I think they can make it a competitive game against the number three seed in Creighton. From there, South Carolina will be in line for a third meeting with SEC foe Tennessee. These two teams split the regular season, Tennessee and South Carolina, with each team winning on the opposing team's home court. So third time for these two teams to meet, you certainly got to fancy South Carolina would at least have a shot there. So that is my only pick for the Midwest region. We're rolling South Carolina up on the money line until they make the Elite Eight. Two regions down, two regions to go. We're going to head over to the West region, where once again, I'm going to have another double up spot. So we're going to start with the Michigan State Spartans as the 9 seed. Michigan State is a much better team than their seed implies. I actually have them power ranked more like a borderline 5 or 6 seed. And, you know, while the committee did them no favors in pairing them up against a difficult 8 seed in Mississippi State, I do have the Spartans favored here. Plus, one thing that I always look at as a predictive analyst is what is the most predictive metrics? And one of the things that is very common out there in the research, if you look at the March Madness literature out there, preseason rankings matter a lot. They certainly provide a measure of underlying talent. Michigan State was ranked 4th in the preseason, and Mississippi State was ranked 34th by the voters. Even on KenPom, Michigan State was 13th and Mississippi State was 27th. So I do give Michigan State a pretty solid edge here, not only when you take my current power ratings, but regress them a little bit towards their preseason ranking as well. And what that does shows Michigan State has a lot of upside given how highly ranked they were in the preseason. So then they would face potentially the number one seed in that region, the North Carolina Tar Heels. And, you know, as the slower paced team between Michigan State and Mississippi State, I do like the fact that Michigan State's a little slower paced, maybe a little bit more likely to keep it close and upset North Carolina in the second round, who I have ranked as the worst 1 seed and actually would be more like a borderline 2 or 3 seed per my power rankings. And then from there, Michigan State could potentially face Alabama, but Alabama, they rely on the 3-pointer just like Creighton does. And if they have an off shooting day from downtown, and with Michigan State's upside potential, I can see a path to the Elite Eight from Michigan. So we're going to roll, or I should say Michigan State. So we're going to roll with the Spartans on the money line all the way to the Elite Eight, unless they face my next team. And this one I'm excited about. That is the Grand Canyon Antelopes, who are the 12 seed in the West region. This is a spot where I'm specifically targeting this first round matchup for Grand Canyon against St. Mary's. If we look at the four factors of basketball, shooting, rebounding, forcing turnovers, and committing fouls, those are the four major factors when evaluating a team's efficiency. St. Mary's does two of these things at the elite of elitist level. They are an amazing rebounding team, both in the offensive and defensive glass, but I'm specifically focusing on St. Mary's defense here. They're number 3 in the nation in defensive rebounding percentage, and St. Mary's is top 3 in the nation in effective field goal percent defense, meaning they're forcing teams to miss shots. Well, the problem is for St. Mary's, Grand Canyon is actually a terrible matchup from that regard, because in the other two areas, St. Mary's is just an average team, and Grand Canyon draws fouls at a top 10 adjusted rate in the nation when I adjust for opposing teams' foul rates. So Grand Canyon could get to the line a lot in this matchup. And what happens if you're getting to the line against St. Mary's? Well, they can't defend your free throws. So you get a 75%+ free throw shooting team that isn't being defended all of a sudden, and that negates St. Mary's advantage of defending shots. And because you're shooting free throws at a 75%+ make rate, all of a sudden St. Mary's rebounding advantage gets negated. So their two incredibly strong areas get fully negated here by the way Grand Canyon plays offense. And You know, St. Mary's a 5 seed. Let's look at another 5 seed in this tournament, San Diego State. Well, Grand Canyon played San Diego State and drew a 62% free throw attempt to field goal attempt ratio against San Diego State, going 23 for 31 from the foul line and upset San Diego State. Well, this is the exact same, you know, power rating range as San Diego State with St. Mary's, and I think it affects St. Mary's even more in this matchup. So I love Grand Canyon to get past St. Mary's in round one. From there, you get Alabama. I talked about them. All they need is an erratic three-point shooting day, and you're suddenly in it with a shot. Then you got to face potentially North Carolina, but if you're facing Michigan State, we cash both out in the Sweet 16, both Grand Canyon and Michigan State out in the Sweet 16. Otherwise, you face UNC, who, again, I mentioned is the weakest 1 seed. So I'm playing Grand Canyon on the money line all the way to the Elite Eight, unless they face Michigan State in Sweet 16, which in that case, we're cashing both out. On the other half of the West region here, my 7th overall pick for the Giffen Guide to March Madness is the New Mexico Lobos. They are the 11th seed in this region. And I actually have New Mexico, as does the market, favored over Clemson. So I think this is just a spot where we're going to want to take an 11 seed against a 6 seed, with the 11 seed being the better team. Pace is also a major factor here, as New Mexico pushes the pace. And so as a team favored against Clemson, you want your favored team to push pace. So I think that's great that New Mexico pushes pace against Clemson. I'm going to take them over Clemson. And then in the next round, it certainly helps that with New Mexico as an underdog to Baylor, that Baylor plays on the slower side, which will reduce the amount of possessions that New Mexico is facing. And Baylor is also overseeded, as I have them more like a borderline 4 to 5 seed instead of a 3 seed. So again, we get a spot where we're catching an overseeded team versus an underseeded team. So definitely like the 11-3 upset here. From there, Arizona's going to be tough. Look, we got to face tough teams at some point, but we'll worry about it if it gets there. Maybe we've already cashed out so much other stuff. We could just cash out New Mexico versus Arizona if we want to, but Arizona's a tough out. And if we're, you know, in a spot where we haven't won anything, but we have New Mexico versus Arizona, we may just need to roll it over to the money line to the Elite Eight and hope for the upset, because, you know, like I said, New Mexico still grades as a very solid team around like a 7-6 seed in my power rating. So there's definitely a non-zero chance they upset Arizona. So New Mexico Lobos on the money line to the Elite Eight with pick number 7. That leaves one more region and one more pick. I will say I'm avoiding the bottom half of the East region here, because while I do have BYU rated closer to like a borderline 4 or 5 seed rather than their 6 seed that they got from the committee, I think the first round spread is too high against Duquesne, and I really don't fancy BYU against the solid 2 and 3 seeds in both Iowa State and Illinois. So that's going to be tough there with a pretty strong 2 and a pretty strong 3 seed on that side of the bracket. So instead, I'll turn to the top half of the bracket. And this is the first time ever on the Giffen Guide to March Madness I have not taken a seed 5th or higher. Instead, I'm going to roll with the 4 seed Auburn Tigers. I love Auburn, as they power rate actually as my 4th overall team in the tournament. So in other words, based off my power ratings, I would have them as the 4th number 1 seed, yet they're stuck with a 4 seed here. And I think a lot of it comes from a 36-day stretch where they struggled. They lost 5 games in the 36-day stretch, 5 of the 7 games they've lost all year. However, since then, Auburn has won by an average of 18.8 points per game against opponents who are, on average, much tougher than their round one opponent, Yale. So while I do think Yale may keep this game close early, I'm going to take Auburn to cover the 12.5-point spread against Yale, as I have this more like 13.5 or 14 points. Plus, I do like the matchup. So while the Yale Bulldogs do slow it down a bit, they're a pretty poor free throw shooting team, which negates Auburn's one weakness, which is Auburn's high foul rate. So I'm going to back Auburn to cover the spread against Yale. If they don't, then we lose this pick. But if they do, Then I like them money line the rest of the way. You know, I think Auburn should be able to handle San Diego State, where, you know, seeing as I have Auburn closer to like a one seed, I certainly think they can handle a five seed in San Diego State. So we can money line that game. And then from there, it's a likely showdown with number one overall seed, UConn. And while I do have UConn favored, this is a lot closer than it you know, it should be. So we can moneyline Auburn over UConn to get to the Elite Eight. So there you have it. Eight picks for the Giffen Guide to March Madness. We've got Colorado Buffaloes as the 10 seed in the South. NC State Wolfpack as the 11 seed in the South. Nebraska Cornhuskers as the 8 seed in the South. In the Midwest, we have the number 4 seed South Carolina Gamecocks. In the West, number 9 seed Michigan State Spartans, and then Grand Canyon as the 12 seed. Finally, in that same region, the West region there, we have New Mexico Lobos as the 11 seed. And with the final pick from the East region, number 4 seed Auburn Tigers on the spread in the first game, and then the money line. So good luck to us. If there's any spot you want to differentiate, let me know. Shout out to me. Follow me on Twitter at Rotodoc. Once again, this was the Giffen Guide to March Madness on the Action Network podcast presented by BetMGM. Good luck, everyone.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.